ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। वेदांत सार शुकमुनि वाक्य श्रीमद् भागवत कैंटो 6 चैप्टर 1 टेक्स्ट 19। प्रायश्चित्तानि चिरणानि नारायणपराङ्मुखम् न निष्पुनन्ति राजेन्द्र सुराकुम्भम् इव अपगा। प्रायश्चित्तानि चिरणानि नारायणपराङ्मुखम् न निष्पुनन्ति राजेन्द्र सुराकुम्भमिवापगा। Translation: My dear king, as a pot containing liquor cannot be purified even if washed in the waters of many rivers, non-devotees cannot be purified by processes of atonement even if they perform them very well. Coming to normal, yesterday was aberration. Purport: To take advantage of the methods of atonement, one must be at least somewhat devoted. Otherwise, there is no chance of one's being purified. It is clear from this verse that even those who take advantage of karmakanda and jnanakanda, but are not at least slightly devoted, cannot be purified simply by following these other paths. The word prayashittani is plural in numbers to indicate both karmakanda and jnanakanda. Narottam Das Thakur therefore says, karmakanda, jnanakanda, sakaler vishera bhanda. Thus, Narottam Das Thakur compares the paths of karmakanda and jnanakanda to pots of poison. Liquor and poison are in the same category. According to this verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, a person who has heard a good deal about the path of devotional service, but who is not attached to it, who is not Krishna conscious, is like a pot of liquor. Such a person cannot be purified without at least a slight touch of devotional service. Of Srimad Bhagavatam, yesterday's verse was Sadrichano Yam Loke Panthakshemo Kuto Vaya Sushiro Sadhava Yatra Narayana Parayana. So here he is kind of liberal in the approach, Shukamuni, saying that you can follow the path of Mahajanas, that will purify. The question will come in the mind, what about purification by atonement? You know, that's a natural question that scriptures give recommendation for purifying or cleansing one's sins by undergoing atonement. Just like king punishes criminals, or the state punishes for purification, for rectification. And that's given in the law book. Similarly, the laws of scripture also prescribe purificatory processes, atonements for different sins. So why one has to follow Narayana Parayanas, Mahajanas? One can follow the atonement and get purified. So this verse answers that question, that no matter how much atonement you undergo, not going to help you. You know, there has to be some, commitment to Lord, some devotional service to Lord. Without that devotional service, no matter how much atonement you do, it's not going to help. Just like a pot of liquor, how much you wash it, it's not going to be cleansed. And this is the basic theme, as I see it in this verse. There could be many more. I'm sure the Acharyas must have given different perspectives. So Prabhupada here goes back to his normal, attacking mood. Last purport, I appreciated them calling Mayavadis Sushilo Sadhava. Now he's saying, no, it's all pot of poison. And it is true. As we see it, that actually nothing can purify. And that's that is established by many, many incidents described in the scripture. There are many, for example, King Prachin Bharishad. King Prachin Bharishad was very pious king. No? So which canto? Fourth canto? Which canto was it? I just, fourth canto, okay. My memory slips me. So King Prachin Bharishad was a very pious king, engaged in Karma Kanda. He was constantly performing sacrifices. And as we see in Bhagavatam, that he killed so many animals that I think four or five ponds were filled with their blood. You know, as he killed, the blood was poured there. So he continuously, one after another, was performing sacrifices. And he was blissfully happy that, oh, I'm doing good pious activity as prescribed in scripture. So as it happens, normally Narad Muni visited him and so King, you know, welcomed him, gave him respectable seat and worshipped him. So Narad Muni, as usual, asked him, so King, how are you? Everything is fine. How is your dharma, karma? He said, oh, very good. See, I am sacrificing every, you know, one after another. Yagyas are going on. Four ponds are filled with the blood of the animals I sacrificed. Oh, really? This is your, yeah, this is very good. My priest here told me. He said, but you know, yes, you have done pious activity. This will take you, you know, to heavenly planets. But what about all the sins of killing those animals? You know, you're going to get reaction. He said, oh, really? You know, he didn't believe it. But he was Narad Muni, so he exhibited his, yogic power, and he could see all those animals who were, you know, whom he had slaughtered. They were rushing to him to kill him. So he got scared. So Narad Muni said, yes, you know, word mamso hinoti. It means that he will kill me. So mamso word itself means that. You should have known this. He says, what to do? I never knew. How do I get out of it? So Narad Muni says, first, so chirat eva rajarase syat achyuta kathashraya. That don't worry, just take shelter of Achyuta Katha. So chirate varajar se syad Achyuta Katha Ashraya. I forgot the verse. Anyway, anybody remembers? Anyway, so he says that you take shelter of Achyuta Katha, Krishna Katha. This will purify. You don't have to worry about any other atonement. And some verses down, he said, what about, I think Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur or somebody has commented. He said, if I hear Harikatha, what will happen? How will I, be looked after? My body has to be maintained. So, tasvin mahan mukhrita madhubhish charitra piyushishesha sarita paritosravanti taye pivanta vitrusha nupagada karne tanna smishante santruta bhayashoka moha. I don't know which verse, maybe few verses down. Narad Muni tells him that tasvin mahan mukhrita madhubhish charitra, if you go to devotee of Krishna and hear from him Krishna katha, tasmin mahan mukhrita madhubhish charitra. Charitra means pastime, story of Krishna, which is flowing like a nectar. Piyushashesha sarita paritosravanti. In four directions, 10 directions, it is flowing like rivers of nectar. Taye pivanti avitrusho nupagada karne. One who hears that, avitrusho, with eagerness, not, oh, same thing I'm hearing today, tomorrow, day after tomorrow. Sometimes we feel that, right? Hearing same story, and what is, there is no relish because we want to hear something new. But as many acharyas have explained, Srimad Bhagavat, every verse has got so many different meanings, so much relish. Mahaprabhu heard Dhruva Akhyan 100 times in Tota Gopinath temple. Gadadhar Pandit was speaker, and Mahaprabhu would go, not Gopi Giti, and just Dhruva Akhyan, 100 times he has heard, and he was relishing it. So, Avitrushan Upagada Karne, what about eating, sleeping? He said, Tanna Smushanti Bhayashoka Moha, Ashantrushna Bhayashoka Moha. And one who is hearing like this to him, Narad Muni says, Ashantrut Bhayashoka Moha will not touch. Hunger, thirst, fear, lamentation and illusion will not touch. This is not make-believe story, you know. It's a reality. We can see in the case of Maharaj Parikshit. He was sitting there, hearing for 7 days. And of course, Sukadeva Goswami was speaking, but you know, he was already Paramahansa. You know, he didn't need anything to eat or sleep, or he could go on. But Maharaj Parikshit was a king, you know, had all comforts of his life. So apparently, this is again Chakravarti Thakur says that he was wondering towards the beginning of the 10th canto that king has been sitting here without any break, you know, no 9 o'clock, no 5 o'clock prasad. How is he, you know, no rest? So yeah, he needs at least some break to take water or something. So Shukadeva Goswami got some doubt probably in his mind. Again, this is not in the Bhagavatam. Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur or somebody has, I don't remember. So Parikshit Maharaj perceived that. And you know, he has that 10th canto, what was that verse? I forgot that verse. Yeah, that's one verse. And second verse, apart from the animal killers, nobody. Nivritta tarshe upagiya manat bhavav shada shrotra mano viramat kautta mashloka gunanu vadat man virajjet vina pashugnat. He said, don't worry, it's the purport of the verse. Nivritta tarshe upagiya manat, those who have given all trishna of this world, upagiya manat, sung by them, bhavaushada shrotra mano viramat. It's a bhavaushad, it's a real medicine for all the aushadas, all the diseases of this world. Shrotra mano viramat ka uttama shloka gunanu vadat puman virajjet vishap. Who is that who will not want to hear? Also in the right in the beginning, you know, first canto, second canto, where before Shukamuni came in the assembly of Maharaj Parikshit, and there are different people, you know, who were supposed to speak. And when he was offered a seat, the shloka, again, Parikshit Maharaj spoke. He's saying that Gayata Vishnu Gatha. Tamo payantam pratyantu vipra ganga dhujitta mishe tujopasushra kukas takshakova dashatvalam gayata Vishnu Gatha. Just memory is fading. Too much other things. Dashatvalam gayata Vishnu Gatha. Actually, this verse is quoted by Rupa Goswami as a symptom of bhava bhakti. There are nine what they call tatastha lakshan, nine symptoms which manifest. They are not essential lakshan, but tatastha in the body of devotee who has attained bhava. Kshanti avartha kalatvam virakti manashunyata ashabandha samutkantha namagani sadaruchi tad gunakhyane asakti priti tad vasati sthale. So the first one is shanti. Shanti means he's unaffected by, sometimes you think not shanti, not peaceful. Shanti means unaffected by any adverse situation. So, and that's symptom of person at a stage of bhava. And that's why Parikshit Maharaj should sit for 7 days and hear without going. It's not easy. We can't just sit and hear. He was on that level already to begin with. So he said, shanti is a symptom of a person who is unaffected by adversity. You know, he's unaffected absolutely. So Maharaj Parikshit was cursed to die by the bite of snake within 7 days. But here he was sitting, he gave up this kingdom, he gave up all his, you know, responsibilities. We find very difficult. If I give up, what will happen? If I don't fight legal battle, we lose our properties, you know. We have all these illusions. Here is a man, you know, running the whole world. And, you know, he left in a second when he heard. Absolute detachment. At the same time, unaffected by, you know, impeding death. 7 days, death was sure. He was powerful enough to counter it if he wanted to. It is not that he had to accept that curse. If he wanted, he could have countered Brahmana's curse. But he didn't. He accepted it as an opportunity. And he came and he sat. And what is this? Dujopasushta kukastakshokova. Let that snake or whatever witch or crowd, let it come and bit me. I don't care. As long as Gayata Vishnu Gatha. Sutu Dashatu Alam Gayata Vishnu Gatha. As long as you are singing Vishnu Gatha. So that's the symptom of, that's hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. So therefore, Tanna Spushanti Ashantruta Bhayashoka Moha. Such person, Ashantrut, Bhaya, Shoka and Moha will not touch and it will completely purify you. This is Narad Muni's instruction to King Prachin Bharishad. So Karma Kanda cannot purify. This is example. No matter how many sacrifices you do, how many animals you slaughter, how much yagyas you do. Look at Jnana Kanda. That example is there of Sobari Muni. He was completely, perfectly established in his meditation. He didn't want to see Vishayas. So he thought, what to do? If you are in outside world, you will see Vishaya. See the object of the senses may affect your mind. So he went under water and decided to meditate underwater. So powerful, Jalastamban Vidya. He had a mastery over his breathing. So he could live underwater for years without taking breath. But Vishayas are everywhere. Where you can get away from Vishayas? Even inside the water also there are Vishayas. He saw a fish copulating and became friend of fish and got affected. That gave him desire to have sex life, become grihastha. He left, he came out of the river. His body was only bones, all the flesh, skin eaten by fish, nothing was there. His air, life air was moving within the bones. So he went, he wanted to marry. So where he will go? He went to the king's palace. So king saw, Baba, great Rishi has come. He was underwater for so many years. Gave him big seat, worshipped him. Sadhu Baba, give us some blessing. What can I do for you? So generally is what Sadhu will say. Nothing generally they ask. This Sadhu is saying, no, I want your daughter. My God, this fellow is taking my daughter. Old, no flesh, no... King was in a trouble. How to get rid of this man? If I say no, he'll curse me. So he said, what to do? My dear sir, my daughters are Swayamvara. They will choose their own husband. I have no choice. Go if they accept you. I have no problem. Go. So then he thought, oh, king, you are seeing I am an old man. So you are trying to avoid. Okay. Where are your daughters? I will go. He said, go inside Antapura. So he walked in. While walking in, he assumed such a beautiful young boy's form. What to speak of one daughter? All 50 daughters fell for him. They all wanted to marry him. King had no choice. He has given word. Married them. Went. After some time, king thought, this, old fellow showing beautiful form, married my, young, nice daughters who always lived in luxury. What this fellow is feeding them? What is he doing? Let me go and see. So took his wife and went to see his Jamai Babu, his son-in-law. Went in, first palace he enters, first daughter's house, big, huge palace. All servants, everything is there. So he asked, everything is fine? My dear daughter, he said, yeah, everything is fine. See, better than your palace, this palace. Everything. He said, you have no pain, no sorrow, no shortage. See, only one thing I have some pain. What is that? He said, my husband is always with me. What is happening with my other sisters? I am feeling sad for them. Oh, that's all. Oh, that nothing. So, okay. Went to next daughter. See, beautiful palace. Everything is wonderful. Again, he went to ask her the same question. I am very happy. I know only one pain for my other sisters. Every daughter said the same thing. So they found this fellow not only married, he assumed 50 forms and was enjoying with 50 wives. Such a powerful yogi. But you can see there was some desire in his heart. Of course, there was also another issue was that he had cursed Garuda. And there was a reaction for that as well. But still the example is there that his Jalastamban vidya and his great advancement in knowledge, you know, brought him down from that level to what level? So this is the example where purification offered by karma kanda or jnana kanda actually cannot purify. Sridhar Swami compares that to the rain water of Varsha and Sharad. That verse is there in Srimad Bhagavatam. Pravishta karna randrena swanam bhava sarorum dhunoti amalam krishna salasya yatha sharat. Commenting on that verse, he says that so Krishna enters when you pravishta karna randrena, when you hear harikatha, Krishna enters through your pravishta karna randrena swanam bhava sarorum. He enters the heart of a devotee. Dhunoti amalam krishna. He cleans the heart by entering his heart through his ears. Pravishta karna randrena. And salasya yatha sharat. How that cleansing? He said, cleansing by the water, rainwater of Sharad. If you take, put a pot outside during rainy season and collect the water, there will be some dust particles because initial rain has some dust which comes from the sky. And although the water may settle for some time and the dust may go down, but dust is still there. It is not gone. So top of the water may be very clean and you may think it's a clean water. But at the bottom there will be a dust because it is the water of Varsha Rutu, not Sharad. But as time progresses, as monsoon progresses, and when the Sharad Rutu comes, and you collect that water has no dust. And now maybe because of pollutions, but it's not supposed to have. Or maybe in a pure places where there is no such a polluting industry, you will get pure water. Since that water has no impurity, no matter how much disturbance you create, that water will remain pure. Whereas this water, it may be pure from the top, but little bit of disturbance, the dust will come up. So this is an example of karma kanda and jnana kanda. It may be pure, it appears nice, and it is nice in one sense. But little bit of disturbance, and Sridhar Swami says, it will come up. And the impurities are not gone, they are just pushed down. Whereas bhakti is like water of Sharad Rutu. It's pure. No matter how much you disturb, it will be like example of Haridas Thakur. He was, the prostitute was sent to him and he was chanting his rounds. So prostitute came, most beautiful lady, his opponents wanted to pull him down. And she came and she offered him, "Sir, I want union with you. You are young, beautiful person. I am also young." He didn't say, "Oh, get lost, is that?" No. "Yeah, sit down, let me chant. I have not what to do, I have taken a vow. If I don't finish, I cannot do anything. I'll satisfy you, just sit down." So he chanted. Night passed. And now it's sunrise, so she had to go away. Next night, third night, fourth night, the chanting never finished. She never had a chance. In the end, instead of putting him down, he uplifted her. She gave up her business, showed her head up, put tulsi plant, and started chanting herself. This is Sharad, water of Sharad Rutu. It is water of Varsha Rutu. The disturbance which came to disturb that water became purified. Whereas here, little bit of sight of fish created disturbance. Therefore, Srimad Bhagavat again says, yes, it is true that karma kanda, jnana kanda, other processes are there and they are definitely purifying in one sense. But they cannot really completely, you know, purify one's existence. Without bhakti, they have no potency. Yam niyamadi bule Krishna bhakta sanga. Ahimsa. I forgot. Kabu nai bhakti ranga. Yam niyamadi bule Krishna bhakta sanga. Kaviraj Goswami says that ahimsa, non-violence, all these good things are not, bhakti is not dependent on them. Nor is it anga of bhakti. They come as the servants of bhakti. Bhakti follows, so they follow. Yasyasya bhakti bhagavati akinchana sarva gunetatra samasita sura. That By practicing bhakti, the gunas come. Not that devotee endeavors for them separately. That's the automatic result of performing devotional service. They get purified by associating with bhakti. That's bhakti's potency, its greatness. That not only it is sublime, it is available to everybody, but it is so exalted that all the different angas of spiritualism or dharma are wanting to be her servants and become purified, become happy, you know, by manifesting in the body of a devotee. Yam niyamadi bule Krishna bhakta sanga. Bhakti is supreme, just like Krishna is absolutely independent. He has no, his dependence is unique and absolute. Similarly, bhakti, her independence is also unique and absolute. Whereas, jnana and karma, they will purify, but they will depend, they will need bhakti, some kind of faith in Krishna, some kind of commitment, at least in his words, the scriptures, which are his breathing. Without that, it cannot purify. So this is the Siddhanta of Srimad Bhagavatam. And in this verse, that is what Lord Sukadeva Goswami is explaining to Maharaj Parikshit. That yes, there is no other way but to follow in the footsteps of Mahajanas by practicing devotional service. All other ways mentioned in scriptures are there, but without touch of bhakti, they don't have potency to purify. And therefore, Narottam Das Thakur has called them Visharabhanda. Sometimes they even distract. As Rupa Goswami, while explaining definition of bhakti, has called Jnana Karmadi Anavruttam. Although he has not said Shunyam, Anyabhilashita Shunyam, you can't have Anyabhilash. Anyabhilash is there, then it can't be bhakti. Yeah, it can be bhakti, but it can't be uttama bhakti. Bhakti means Krishna Anushilanam iti bhakti. That's the definition of bhakti. Trying to please Krishna. Krishna Anushilanam iti bhakti. That is bhakti. Just like, but it could be mixed. Somebody may serve Krishna in order to get some material results. That's also bhakti. But it is not pure bhakti. It is not uttam bhakti. To qualify it has got different, you know, Rupa Goswami has given different criterions. Anya bilashita shunyam jana karma janavruttam anukulyena Krishna anushilanam iti bhakti. So first of all, you must act to please Krishna. But your action must be performed with favorable mood. Otherwise, it cannot be bhakti. This example is there. When Krishna went to the court of Kamsa, Kamsa had planned to kill him. Right? So he had this Chandra and Mushtik. Two big wrestlers were there. So they were, when Krishna and he said, you are cowards, you are always having wrestling matches, so let's have a wrestling match. So you got Krishna Bal, Chandra and Mushtik here. And they had a serious wrestling match. And when Chandra and Mushtik were hitting Krishna with their fist, Krishna was enjoying it. He was pleased. Because he was Veera. The shloka is there. Vishwanathacharya Thakur quotes that in this incident from Srimad Bhagavatam. That when Gandhari went to forest, and after the war of Mahabharata war, Dhritarashtra was made king again by Yudhishthir, and he was enjoying his life, you know, royal facilities. So he came, what's his name? Vidura said, "No, you are so shameless. Whole your life you planned to kill this, your, you know, nephews. And now at their mercy, you are, you know, expense, you are no shame, you should give this up." So this time, you know, his Upadesh went in his heart. And Dhritarashtra left the palace without telling anybody. And Gandhari followed. First canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. And Gandhari followed him. And then he became very worried, Yudhishthir Maharaj. What happened? You know, my uncle and my aunt, she was born in a family of king of Kandahar. And she is married into our dynasty. She never experienced forest life. Generally, Kshatriya's sons were sent to the forest to be trained by the guru. So they had experience of austerity. But generally, girls were never sent. So how she would survive? And how she would face? So that verse is there. She says that Himalayanasya danda praharsha Manasvinayasya samprahara Himalayanasya danda praharsha. That's the second line. He's saying that since she's a pativrata, she'll be more happy with her husband in the forest than staying in the palace with all the comforts. He said, just like the example is given, two examples he gives, that just like the sannyasi, when he comes to the village or the town or a city, all the gurusas want to invite him, give him all the facilities, pleasure, everything. And he has all the comforts he needs. But sannyasi's mind is, he's more happy in the Himalayas, where there is no guarantee of food, living in a cave, and there is no harsh weather. But that gives him more pleasure because his life is meant for renunciation. That gives him pleasure than a facility afforded, you know, in town. Or princely person, the Kshatriya, when he lives in his palace, he's got a nice comfortable bed and dasi servants serving him, all pleasures. But he takes more pleasure in a war when opponent's arrows hit his chest, although it is painful. He's a Kshatriya, he gets pleasure. So, Manasvinaya Satsamprahara. Manasvinaya Satsamprahara. Satsamprahara, the prahara of Manasvina means viraj. So, Krishna is Manasvina. So, when Chandra and Mushtik hit him, he was very happy. He was, you know, he was a Kshatriya, he was a fighter. He enjoyed that fight. So then Chandra and Mushtik could become great devotees because they please Krishna by their actions. Right? If you say Krishna Nushilana Miti Bhakti, you know, acting in a way to please Krishna is bhakti, then Chandra and Mushtik becomes great devotees. So it's not true, it's not correct. Why? Anukulya. Because they had pratikul. Their desire was not to please Krishna, but desire was to harm him. So Rupa Goswami, that's why use word anukulya and Krishna Nushilana. So commentator says that when one acts to please Krishna in a favorable mood, that is bhakti. But one may be favorable but has some material desires. He wants something in return, wants to do business. I do this, you know, job for me, or you know, big money for me, or good degree for me, or whatever, big post for me, hundreds of subtle, gross desires. So that is bhakti, because he's favorable to his, he has no ill intentions. It is bhakti, but it is mishra bhakti. It is not uttam bhakti. To make that act bhakti, Rupa Goswami has given two kind of anukulyana Krishna anushilanam is bhakti, but to make it uttam bhakti, or what Prabhupada calls pure devotional service, it has got two more adjectives, two more criteria to be fulfilled. One is Anyabhilashita Shunyam. Anyabhilashita Shunyam means one should not desire anything else other than bhakti. But he has used the word Abhilashita. Abhilashita here means one may sometime, due to some strange situation, may desire something different than bhakti. Not by nature. For example, somebody is drowning suddenly in the ocean. And he may say, oh my Lord, please save me. Like our elephant king, Brajendra. That does not compromise his pure devotional service. Because it is not his nature. It has happened because of an extreme situation he was put in. Anya Abhilash Shunya would have meant never desiring. But he said Abhilashita, the word he has used. You know. It means that one should not have a nature of desiring things. But sometime with the extreme situation, one may pray, which is not recommended, but it may happen. That will not compromise purity of bhakti. Rupa Goswami says. But by practice, one's devotional service is only meant for pleasing Krishna. And like Prabhupada was asked, by chanting Hare Krishna, what will you get? More Hare Krishna. That's all. We chant Hare Krishna to chant more. Bhakti is beginning, bhakti is the middle, bhakti is end. So Rupa Goswami says, Anya Bilash, and Jnana Karmadi Anavruttam. Although he has not said Shunyam, but he has used the word Anavruttam. Anavruttam means that Jnana and Karma should not cover bhakti. One should not think, if I don't perform this Karma Kanda activities or Jnana Kanda activities, my situation will be compromised. One may do that in order as a social custom. One may do that in order to keep his social obligations. But one should not think that this, without this, you know, I will be compromised. It's called anavruttam. Like for example, after a death, one has to do shraddha. Advaita Acharya also did shraddha. But not that if you don't perform, it will compromise your bhakti. Like, Pranabandhu Prabhu's father-in-law died. So he called me. He wanted to bring his ashes and put in Ganga. So I was trying to get him some pandit, you know, to do all. He said, don't bring pandit. Let Janivas Prabhu come and kick my father's ashes into Ganga. I am happy with that. Don't need all this business. You know, the accent of bhakti, anavrutam. One may do it in order to, you know, your family member, others want to do. But he is happy. He said, let Janivas Prabhu kick them into Ganga. I'll be more happy with that than to all the brahmanas you can get to chant and do all the rituals of shraddha. No, so and he, but we did everything nicely, properly, you know, as per regulations. The idea is that the dependence on them is not there. Dependence, we may do it, but dependence remains on bhakti. Therefore, Rupa Goswami has used the word anavruttam. Anyway, the point is that bhakti should remain supreme. Other acts could be there. Its supremacy cannot be compromised. And therefore, to discourage us, there are strong words are used by acharyas, Visharabhanda. Because ultimately, they have to be given up. They have to be, like yesterday we were discussing, you know, even the so-called piety is an hindrance. Like when in Anartha Nivruti, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says, not only the bad acts, sinful acts, but also the pious acts have to be taken out of the heart. The bhakti is neither piety nor impiety, it is transcendental. So even the pious activities are also hindrance in the path of advancement. So therefore, the strong criticism you can see in the scriptures, calling it Visharabhanda, the pot of poison. Because if from ultimate, okay, from our right now point of view, it may not, we can't say that. But from Narottamdas' point of view, yes, it is Visharabhanda. It is very painful to see that these acts are taking away avartha kalatvam at a stage of bhava. One doesn't want to waste one time, 1 minute. Doesn't want to even sleep. Like Mahaprabhu towards the last part of his life. Gambira Vijaya Nahi Ratri Nidra Lau. Even for a second he couldn't sleep. Bitte Shira Mukha Gosi Khata Yasab. He was scratching his face on the walls of Gambira, bleeding, feeling separation from Krishna. Avartha Kalatvam. There is no second left in life of a devotee to be wasted. That's the stage of bhava. So where's the question of doing karma kanda, jnana kanda? It's a disturbance. For us who are engaged probably in other activities, it's okay, fine. It cannot be considered taking away time. Because if you chant 16 rounds, many of us, mostly me, I can talk about. I'm happy, I finished my 16 rounds. But for those who have got such a taste for Krishna's name, that they are trying to escape from everything else in order to chant, for them these are distractions. It's a wish, it's a poison, it's a trouble. Like when gopis were seeing Krishna, they're cursing Brahma. Kare vidra bhatsan, অবিদগ্ধ বিধি নাই নাই ভালো নাই ভালো জানে সৃজন সহস্র চক্ষু দিলা নাই দিলা মাত্র দুই তাহাতে নিমিষ কৃষ্ণ কি দেখি মুই গোপীজি আর কর্ষিং ব্রহ্মা ইউ আর সো স্টুপিড ইজ দ্যাট ইউ গেভ ওনলি টু আইজ ইনস্টেড অফ গিভিং থাউজেন্ডস অফ আইজ এন্ড ইভেন ইন দ্য টু আইজ ইউ পুট দিস পালক দিস হোয়াট ইউ কল আইলিডস হাউ ক্যান আই সি কৃষ্ণ ইউ নো আনডিস্টার্ব So this is the mood, this is the elevation. So even that palak was, the eyelid was found disturbing. So what to speak of engaging in activities of karmakanda and jnanakanda. So when such statements are there, you know, it's not that many of us have right to criticize like that. But from the point of view of Narottam Das Thakur, Rupa Goswami, or Lord Chaitanya. This kind of activities were definitely a disturbance. Therefore, in this verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, the full and complete stress is made by Shukadeva Goswami that one has to, one cannot purify by any other methods, just like pot of liquor cannot be purified by anything. Only by devotional service one can purify. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. We have got 15 more minutes, 9:30 you say. So if there are any questions, comments. Oh, yes, okay, after him. I didn't see your hand too.
Prabhuji, we are all engaged in devotional service. We are talking about the karma kand and the jnana kand and the deficiencies in the karma and jnana. But even here, we find that as a sadhaka, we engage in devotional service. We want to take seriously the process of devotional service. We have the association of Vaishnavas also. But in spite of all this also, sometimes, or maybe many times, we are dragged, forced to engage in, you know, sense gratification. And that too, sometimes we do it in a very, very strong way, in spite of strong association also. So one may wonder that where is the purification taking place here? We are talking about the glories of devotional service, but here, even in spite of that also, like we are giving example of Saubari Muni and others, you know, they see and fish and wants to enjoy, then even sadhakas also, even though serious, but still when there is a some opportunity, you get dragged to do that activity. How do you answer this?
Yes, so we are talking about Saurabhi Muni, who was extremely advanced in yogic level, more or less perfection. And we're talking about Haridas Thakur, who was on Prem Bhakti level. So that's the comparison of person who is perfected in devotional service and person who is perfected in yoga. Since we are not Haridas Thakur, what we are performing is sadhana bhakti. Sadhana bhakti means, in a sense, it is not a bhakti. It is an attempt to become devotees, we can say. Yesterday we were discussing that point. You are not here. You were here yesterday. That just like when you are doing yajna, before yajna you have to purify the place, so you know plow the field, you purify the place. That is also considered yajna, although it is not yajna, because it is first in order to perform yajna. Similarly, what we perform is a devotional service in practice, sadhana bhakti, Rupa Goswami says. Generally, word bhakti, when it is referred to in scripture, means prem bhakti. That is our goal. You know, like we are performing bhakti, Narad Muni is performing bhakti, Srimati Radharani is performing bhakti. All three of us are same. No, there is big difference. You know, heaven and hell difference. We are trying to chant Krishna's name. Narad Muni always chants Krishna's name. Radharani wants to forget Krishna, but she can't forget. So, they, you know, there's a big... Yesterday I went back and looked at that verse, you know. I was not remembering that Lord Chaitanya was singing. This is from Krishna Karnamrut. So anyway, the point is, that bhakti at different stages. So what we are performing is sadhana bhakti. And there are stages of shraddha, sadhu sangha, bhajana kriya, anartha nirvritti, like that. We are supposed to advance. While going up, there will be disturbances, there will be ups and downs. It cannot just straight. Somebody is doing it straight up, that means he had some previous life sukruti. He's starting from there. Like we see many times a devotee. I was telling example of one devotee in Mayapur. Joined much later, 1990. He finds time to get away from his, temple given service to chant. Not to go to sleep or, do something, chanting. And even this stage, 1 lakh names every day chanting. So now, he had some previous, he may be so-called junior to me and many others, and he respects us as leaders, whatever. But he definitely had such a great sukruti from previous life that the taste or some blessings he got, some reason, that he has definitely gone much ahead of us and got taste for holy name. So while performing this, if you don't have, when we start, there will be ups and downs. And in Madhurya Kadambini, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur has described this. Ghana Tarala, Vida Vikalpa, there are five different Vishaya Sangara. Utsamai was the first one. Okay, like Utsamai. Just a little bit we'll explain. Utsamai means initial there is an enthusiasm. We want to, it's like a enthusiasm of a new convert. When you newly know something. Like when I first time understood a little bit about, I thought, wow, this is the thing I got. I want to go and convince everybody. I was fired up, call my friends here, there, Utsa. It was apakva. It was unripened, bhakti. But it was good. Enthusiasm was there, but that will not last long. After some time, it will come down. It's just like they say, when the first Muslims came to India and they converted the Hindus, those who got converted were very fired up to convert others. They are new converts to Islam than the Arabs who came and attacked. Because that's the nature. Anything new you find, you get enthusiastic. Like first time you learn a little bit of alphabets and you think you master the language and you want to read so many big books. So it's enthusiasm. It's called Utsamai. Then there is Ghanatarala. Sometime you are very fired up, sometime it goes down. Goes up, goes down, goes up, goes down. Because bhakti is apakva. We hear some nice class, a beautiful kirtan, or hear some devotee, and then we feel very enthusiastic. Yeah, I want to do it. I want to see Krishna. And goes for day, 2 days, week, month, and then slowly, slowly, slowly. Nothing wrong. I mean, that's the part that's described in scriptures. That's how we go, ghana tarala. Vida vikalpa, sometimes there's determination. I'll renounce everything. I'll do bhajan. I want to see Krishna face to face. Give up this useless family, useless wife, daughter, son, father, all, Vishara Bhando, get out. And after some time, no, my father is old, my wife is young, my kid is there. And all Mahaprabhu's associates were grastas. Look at Srivas Thakur. He didn't criticize, or said something wrong. I can be gross and I can do bhajan, Vida Vikalpa. Mind is, giving vikalpas, giving determination. Then there is Vishaya Sangara. You declare war on, I will be committed to chant, committed to practice strictly. I will not control my tongue. Taramadhe Jivati is most difficult to control. And you take those kind of vows, and you're walking, you're hungry, and you see a nice sweet shop, samosas are attractive, Anyway, we can offer to Krishna as a vegetarian. This man is, Brahman, whatever, some explanation. Offer. Vishaya, you are declared war, but sometime you lose, you win. It's not always you win. Sometime you say, no, I will not. Determination goes on. Vishaya Sangara. You are declared war, but you may win, you may lose. What is that other one? No, that's the last. Before that is one more. Niyamakshama. Niyamakshama. You take vows. I'll chant 64 rounds. I will do this, I'll do that. On Ekadashi day, or I'll not take water on Janmashtami day, then you are tired, difficult to chant. If I drink a little water, I'll be a little more, fresh, I can chant more. If I take a rest for 1 hour, you want to practice, but you find akshama, incapable to practice. It's not that you lack desire, but somehow you find incapacity. But you have to keep fighting. It's not that you have to give up. Nimakshama. And then Tarangarangini. Tarangarangini is most difficult. You become little stabilized in Krishna consciousness. You chant your rounds nicely. You attend probably the programs. You discipline your life. You are very strict in your habits. You know some shlokas. You know, you can chant and explain. And you think, wow, I have understood bhakti. everything is fine. And all the people, they know. That's why they have come all the way from their house to hear me. You know, who will come if I don't know? So instead of relishing the depth of bhakti, tarangas of bhakti, you know, bhakti is an ocean. You have to go down deep. You don't need others to glorify you. It's pleasure in itself. The chanting of name, reading of Bhagavatam. Srinivas Acharya went to study Bhagavatam, Gadadhar Pandita. His Bhagavatam copy became, you know, illegible because he used to read and his tears from his eyes washed out the letters. He didn't need anybody to appreciate his Bhagavatam study. It itself was pleasure giving. But with bhakti, because little bit bhakti is there, some opulence are manifest. So people come and they glorify. And you also think, yes, you know, humko sab samajh gaya. I understood everything. Bhagavatam, Chetan Charitamrita, nothing is there. So that Tarangarangini. So unless these are crossed, no, we can't go to the stage of Nishta, then Ruchi, then, you know, Asakti, then you come Bhav. So as long as those ways are not there, if Jnanakanda Visharabhanda, Indian courts also Visharabhanda, you know, definitely, if you compare to that level. But no, we are doing it, trying to dovetail our activities in Krishna's service because we are not in a position to 24 hours chant Krishna's name. If somebody can do it, go, great, we should worship that person and should be given facilities to do it. But we can't. We can't read, you know, Bhagavatam whole day. We'll go to sleep, right? So we need to keep our passion engaged, our activities. So we do many different activities. Understanding our adhikar, understanding our qualification, we act without any false pretense or dishonesty. That slowly, 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 this devotional service will purify me, take away all these anarthas, passions, and I will, we should, ultimately, what is definition of bhava bhakti? Shuddha sato visheshatma, prema suryaanshu samyabhak. Ruchibhi chitta masrunyo kudaso bhava uchyate. Shuddha sattva visheshatma, Rupa Goswami says. You have to be on Shuddha sattva platform. You can't perform on lower platforms. Visheshatma. Prema suryaanshu samyabhak. Ruchibhi chitta masrunyo. When the ruchi, the taste for Krishna melts your heart and makes it like a butter. Kudaso bhava uchyate. Sometimes you also feel some pleasure, you know, some happiness. Sometimes tears may come out of our eyes. Sometimes body may shiver. You know, it may happen once in a while. Sometimes Krishna may give you that taste. But generally it is ratyabhas. Rupa Goswami describes that also. It's a reflection of rati, bhava. It's pratibimba and chaya. There are two kinds of reflections. One is shadow and one is reflection. So both of them are not real bhava. Unless we are on the stage of Shuddha Sattva, Visheshatma, That softness of heart is a temporary phenomena which has come as abhas. But bhava bhakti is only at that level. Prema suryaanshu samyabhag. Just it's like when the sun is rising, you see arun, you see the saffron color coming up. Similarly, the prema, the sun of prema bhakti is rising. Before that, that saffron color comes. That is bhava. So unless you are on Shuddha Sattva platform, bhava bhakti will not manifest. So therefore, we are endeavoring to get that. And while doing that, this kind of shortcomings, discrepancies will come. We should not get disturbed by that. That's a part of the process. And fight against it and try and go up, go up, go up. And sometime while going up, you may have to come down. That should be taken as an opportunity to make ourselves humble. That's also very important. Humility is very difficult. Very difficult quality. To pretend to be humble is easy. To be genuinely humble is very difficult. Honesty is much easier. Rupa Goswami describes what is humility. Utkrushtopi amanitvam kathita manashunyata. One is utkrushta and still he thinks he is fallen. That is humility. If we are fallen, we say, I am fallen. It's honesty. It is not humility. So we can be, when Kaviraj Goswami says, I am fallen, it becomes humility. When I say I am fallen, at best it's honesty. So those could be opportunities, for us. So we can't be, till that level is reached. But when we made a comparison of Saurabhi Muni and Haridas Thakur, the platform was the highest platform of yoga and highest platform of bhakti. You can't compare Saurabhi Muni to us. For us, it's worshipable. Pranamya. Mr. Garuda accepted his curse. That means he was very powerful. So definitely he's worshipable for us. Pranamya. Vishwamitra is pranamya for us. We respect him. But when you compare to Vasishtha, when you compare to Haridas Thakur, when you compare to Rupa Goswami, then it's a different, in that there's a comparison. We can compare ourselves to the yogis, who are trying to do some gymnastics, and we find that they can't even control basic sense gratification. We at least follow four regulatory principles. So comparison has to be among the equals. It can't be among unequals. So it's called adhikar vichar. So our problems, whether it's a family, some attachment for sense gratification. Yes, when we have such a problem, we have to pray to purify ourselves. Reveal our heart to somebody whom we have faith in. This is my problem. Take an opportunity to become humble. By seeing our fault, at least in front of Krishna. Dainya Bodhini Prarthana, one of the prayers are Dainya Bodhini. So that also helps us. But till, actually, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, even till Bhagavad Pada Prapti, there's a chance of fall down. Even at a stage of Prema, there will be some small vestige of anarthas will still remain. Ekadesha Vartini, Bodhesha Vartini, Praya, Purna, Atyantiki. There are five levels, some of this I remembered, fortunately. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says that your anarthas are destroyed in five levels. Ekadesha Vartini, Bodhesha Vartini, Purna, Praya, Purna, Atyantaki. At a stage of Bhajana Kriya, many of it goes. At a stage of Nishta, and Atyantaki, the last one, I don't remember exactly, the correlation. Only gets at Bhagavad Pada Prapti. After Prema, when you seek Krishna face to face. Till then, anarthas could remain and they could pull you down. Bharat Maharaj example is there. He was on a bhava stage. He is quoted as an example by Rupa Goswami as a virakti. There's nine symptoms of bhava. Shanti, avartha, kalaktam, virakti, third one. So he said, Bharat Maharaj is an example of virakti. But when he left his kingdom, he left like you leave stool. When you leave stool, pass stool in the toilet, you don't think, should I leave it behind or not? You never think, right? You want to get out. So when he left his kingdom and his opulence, which is like Indra, he didn't think, just like he leaves stool behind, he left behind and walked away. So he was on a stage of bhava when he left his kingdom. But still, he became dear in his next life. So point is that we can see as Krishna's pastime, there are, but lesson is there to be learned that till the stage of Bhagavad Pada Prapti, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, there could be a small spots of anarthas and which could give rise to a temporary, fall down, coming down. Till we are reaching a level of Bhagavad Pada Prapti, there's always a chance of some kind of fall down or setback. But that should not disturb us. When we study, we may not get Shirada Gopinaji ki Gaurnitai ki jai, Srinathji ki jai. We should not get discouraged. We are trying to get the highest thing in the world, which Brahma and Shiva are aspiring to get. Mahaprabhu has come to give. Anarpitam charim chirat karunaya vatrinakkalo. Ehi gupta dhanasindhu brahmanatai pa eka bindu. Ehi dhan jagati vilaila. Mahaprabhu data shirun, I forgot. Kaviraj Goswami describes that what Brahma cannot get, he has come to give. and freely is distributing. So don't, you know, there will be some price, although it is free, compared to what Munis had to do, you know, Dhruva Maharaj, austerity, living on air, we don't have to do that. But still, there will be some renunciation, some price. So expect that. That should not... Is it okay? I mean, I hope I clarify. I think we are up now, or we can take question. Yes, Prabhu.
Haribol, when we hear about karma kand, jnana kand, kevala visharaband, so the karma kand is more clear that, you know, we should not do other activities other than bhakti. But how jnana kand in our practical devotion service could creep in? Like, is it any example or?
Jnana kanda means you enjoy, you know, speculate. Basically, it's talking about mostly, see, there are six schools of Vedanta philosophy. Let's name them. I hope I remember the names. Nyaya Vaishashika, Uttar Mimamsa, Purva Mimamsa, Yoga and Sankhya and Yoga. Six schools. Out of that, five schools are out of, we don't touch them. Six school is Uttar Mimamsa. In Uttar Mimamsa means Vedanta. This is Uttar Mimamsa means Vedanta. There are different interpretations of Vedanta. There are different commentators are given. We can broadly divide them into two. One is impersonalist interpretation of Shankaracharya, and one is personalist interpretation of Ramanujacharya, Madhvacharya, Jiva Goswami, Baldev Vidyabhushan. So, what we are talking, this is bhakti. Okay. Everything else is considered, take it out as jnana, either karma or jnana. So, studying Shankaracharya, It's an enjoyment. It's you know, it gives you a intellectual kick, or you know, and gets you lot of way to think of absolute reality. You know. Mm-hmm. So you some way want to do that. Achha, now sometimes we study to defeat arguments, but generally it's very difficult to draw a line whether we are doing it to please Krishna, to defeat him, or we are studying it to enjoy for ourselves. You know, it's a very thin line. I find it very difficult to, you know, which way it's going, difficult to discriminate. What they are saying is that this acts of studying, not talking about bhakti shastras, because studying bhakti shastra, of course, if you do it in order to get intellectual kick and not to please Krishna, then it may not be a very good thing. And that happens also many times. We chant, we study shloka so we can quote in the class and, you know, get appreciation or to show that we are scholarly. The study should make us humble. They're saying in Marathi, Vidya Vinayana Shobhate, that with knowledge should come humility. But sometime, most of the time, knowledge brings pride. So that's why it's this jnana is, you know, criticized by acharyas. But Kaviraj Goswami, what book he has written. You know, Bhagavatam shlokas become so wonderful when he translates them. But look at the way he is describing himself. You know, this is the symptom of real knowledge. That in spite of, you know, and he's writing in Bengali because he didn't know Sanskrit or something. He has written books in Sanskrit also. He has written commentary on Krishna Karnamrita in Sanskrit. He has written this Govinda Lilamruta in Sanskrit. So, and very beautiful commentaries. So, although he was not born in a Brahmin family, he was extremely scholarly person. You know. And he has quoted from, I don't know how many, I think 120 scriptures probably, Chaitanya Charitamrita. Apart from Acharya, the different scriptures he has brought. And every shloka, you know, even Shikshashtak, you know, to read his commentary, you know, it gives you a relish for what Lord Chaitanya, you know, is desiring when he speaks. So, time is up. Huh? First? Yes, first verse, you know, he gives the essence of that chapter in Sanskrit. And then he goes down and then he wrote. So this is, you know, he says that I am lower than a worm in a stool. You know, and he's not saying it. you know, he means it. It's very easy to say. I just remember one story. I'll tell one story. This was from Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Guru Maharaj. He was Gaurakshasa Babaji Maharaj. You know, he was a very renounced person. He had nothing. He would just beg and nothing gets you lead mud from Ganga and chant. Extremely Sakshad Vairagya Murthy. So one day he was taking bath in Ganga and he was coming out. And some boys were singing Narottam Das Thakur's song. Pashane Kutibo Patha Anale Pashibo. That, you know, in separation, when Srinath Acharya left, Narottam Das Thakur wrote that song. Out of tremendous separation. So when he wrote Anale Pashibo, Pashane Kutibo, means I'll hit my head against the stone. Anale means I'll enter the fire. Gaurangar Gun Nidhi Kothai Gele Pabo. Where I'll find. Acharya Thakur has gone, everybody is gone, Sarup Sanatana have gone, you know, he's feeling separation. So these boys were, you know, laughing and chanting this song. He got so angry, you know, he took a stick, but a kut, kut, mata kut, you know, he hit your head on the stone, hit, hit. He was singing, hit, hit, you know, those guys ran away. You know, very rarely did, he was a very humble person, but you know, he got so angry. It's not a cheap thing that when they say Anyala Pashane Kutibo Matha, Narottam Das Thakur writes, he's not writing as a flowery, you know, thing like the poets are writing. You know, he's his deepest feeling. He actually wanting to hit his head on the stone. You know, these are not empty words of somebody writing, you know, to embellish his poetry. They are serious, in-depth feeling of these personalities. You experience that. These are their experiences which they are writing it out. So, when they say it's a Vishara Bhanda, it is Vishara Bhanda. They feel it is poison. And we cannot appreciate that at this minute. Yes, true. But if by their mercy, if we reach that stage, definitely we'll see it as Vishara Bhanda. This is, you know, so what is your question was about Gyanakanda? So he's talking about this part of scriptures which deal with issues not related to bhakti, which includes Uttar Mimamsa, Shankaracharya and others, and rest of all schools of philosophy. I think, is that clear?
Yeah. Sometimes when you say that when you read scriptures, even not for pleasing Krishna, that the kind of jnana element comes in. Sometimes we feel that some devotees who are naturally just engaged in simple services and worshipping deities and doing simple things, so they appears to be in a more safer side than others who are. But some for preaching sake, we should, the hearing is more important. So the how to be clearly without fearless that I am doing it properly? Like
wow. That's a very, very difficult and important question. The problem is, I sit like this. I give my understanding. I may be completely off. So don't take it as, you know, Siddhanta. I see it as one thing is adhikar and our own nature. Like, you know, Sridhar Maharaj, Prabhupada's god brother, this is from him. He made a statement once, and when Krishna spoke Gita, and Arjuna heard it, and he fought a war. Had Uddhava heard it, he would have gone to forest. Because adhikar was different, nature was different. They would act according to their nature to please Krishna, and both would have pleased Krishna completely. So it's the nature of a person. No, Bhishmadeva was shooting at Krishna. And he was doing devotional service. Okay, Chandra Mushti were hitting and there was no devotional service. When Bhishma shot arrows, it was devotional service. So how devotee will serve Krishna is very difficult to say. In what, you know, Vaishnavara Kriya Mudra Vigyana Bhoja. So we also will be engaged according to our nature. The pujari service, don't think is very simple. Somebody is doing puja service continuously, that showed he has a taste to do it. If you have no taste, if you don't have that inclination, do 7 days you want to do something else. Like we gave a straight example of Prabhupada's god brother, Narayan Maharaj's Keshav Maharaj. Now he was Zamindar's son, sitting on a horse going around doing matabari, you know, on the land of. He couldn't have sit down and chanted, you know, like other. So first of all, we're engaged by our nature. It's not easy to sit in one place and chant Hare Krishna. Even if We'll give best prasad you want every day. You know, whatever facilities you want, just chant. Not easy. It's easy, it appears easy. Unless you have certain sattva gun to sit in one place and chant. Sthane sitam shrutigatam tanuvang manobhi. Simply sit and hear Krishna katha. You can conquer Krishna. This is what Bhagavatam says, and Mahaprabhu accepted that. Yo hoy. To Ramananda Rai. Simply by hearing, sitting in one place, engaging in what you are doing, you can conquer Krishna. What to speak of worshipping deity, the topmost anga of bhakti, one of the five topmost anga. Somebody is doing that. How many are doing in ISKCON? Let's see. You know, look at Vrindavan. How many pujaris have come and gone? Constantly somebody is serving the deity year after year. One person our Panchakarya Janivas Prabhu and one pujari in Manor. What's his name? I've been seeing him. Jivapati. I think every other temple which I have gone, I've seen changes, pujaris. You know, it needs certain attachment and at least sattva gun, minimum, to do that every day, this service. So that's one aspect of it. Second aspect of it doesn't mean you are worshipping deity, means you are absorbed in Krishna. You know, and you are doing something else. Your mind is absorbed. Yes, there is a more chance, you can say. Deity service or some service will give more scope. But you can be doing, you know, arati and your mind could be, you know, 20 furlong away, you know, or 20,000 miles away somewhere, doing something absolutely abominable. And there are examples of, you know, things happening in our own movement. So, but yes, these five angas are the most potent. Rupa Goswami Siddhanta is there and none of us have right to challenge. Chanting Krishna's name, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, associating with devotees, staying in holy dham and worshipping deity. Alpa Krishna Prem Dai, Alpa Sangha. They are the most potent angas of bhakti, undoubtedly. It's like for me, my example, I'm very lazy and I just can't get myself to worship deity. I tried many years back, we went to Janivas Prabhu, he taught me some mantras by heart. I went 2 days and I found something else to do. Now I can blame it on institution. Oh, they engage me here, this, that. But fact remains that actually, if I ask my heart deep, I don't think I have that inclination. And I don't think I could do that. I should try and develop. But probably I could read Bhagavatam longer hours. But my inclination goes that way. So okay, it's good, engage. But as you said, then the problem comes. Then, you know, you quote some shlokas and, you know, praise starts flowing in and you start to think, yes, yes. And the pitfall is there. But that's, you know, in Pujari also, if you serve, you think there are so many ladies wanted to marry Janivas Prabhu. So many of them. We have to get rid of them from Mayapur. And he was so nice to them because, you know, he's humble. One lady, I'll just give an example. She was, she was convinced that, you know, he wanted to marry her. And we told her, I called her person, look, you know, don't trouble, you know, he's not interested. How do you know? Let him tell me. She was getting, I was a manager, CEO that time. And I was thinking, I'm going to cancel her visa and throw you out of this place. But, you know, I said, okay, all fairness. So we decided to discuss. So we could, Janivas Prabhu, please tell her, you know, you're not interested. So, you know, we arrange a meeting. So Janivas Prabhu, humble soul as he is, say, Mataji, please forgive me if I give you any such a feeling, you know. So he was begging her forgiveness, please, if I have given you such a feeling. So this lady, she started going around telling everybody, see, it was his fault, not my fault, you know, her fault. He came and begged apology from me. You know, she went on, got out. So Maya tried, you know, and not one, there are many examples, many ladies, we had to get them out. So disturbance came. He had no intention, I'm sure he had not even looked at her. But this lady was convinced, and there are many like that. So if you are pujari or doing pujari service, don't think just by giving class, you know, there will be some maya. Different varieties of maya. It's not necessarily woman. It could be something else. People will come and, you know, give thousands of dollars, hundreds of, you know, lot of money to do something, or people glorify you for your service. It could be a gross pitfall. It could be a subtle. You know, wherever you go, you know, if you go like you are saying, if you go and become Baba in Vrindavan, then if not Brahma and Shiva, Maharaj said, sheds from Bombay will come and build you ashram. You know, this is what material world. And those pitfalls will be there. We have to fight them. We have to fight them, keep them out. And that's subtle and gross. Different levels they will be. So whether you are a preacher, whether you are a book distributor, whether you are Bhagavatam class wala, whether you are a pujari, whether you are a cook, But generally, yes, somebody is doing a very humble service. You know, somebody is sweeping road. Generally, but you know, even then, somewhere or some level it will come. You know, that's you know, that's material life. What can we do? I think we ended, right? We should end now. Thank you very much. I thank all the devotees here and Gauranga Prabhu, Govinda Prabhu. They gave me a 5-star treatment. I'm getting it for last many places because of these services, and I have a good excuse to accept it. And I think after a long time, I got chance to, you know, come up somehow other for a day and a half, you know, forget a little bit of legalities and a little bit of stock market and focus my mind. And a lot of older, you know, memories of my scriptural memories probably came. And I found I forgot many of it, but some few I still remembered. So it was very nice. Today morning I was feeling, yeah, it was very nice that I was engaged in this preaching. But also a lot of unnecessary praise also came, which is detrimental probably for my advancement. So if I made any mistakes or I have spoken too many things which I shouldn't have spoken, especially in yesterday's class or something, I beg your forgiveness, that you forgive me and keep showering your mercy on me. Hare Krishna. All Guru Srila Prabhupada.
Hare Krishna.
Tantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki.